Here's what we're going to cover in today's session. We're going to look at some core views from the industry. This is all based on the research that we've been doing. We're going to look at some of the candidate needs and benefits, what people are wanting from a rewards package at the moment, you know, what people are really, really resonating with. We're then going to look at ways to convey our messaging, so how to market ourselves as an employer of choice. Going to then look at the important bit, how to measure, engage EVP so you can see what's working. And then we're going to wrap it up with our conclusion. So all in all, we're looking at about 25 minutes from now. So 2025, why is this the best time to redefine your EVP? So essentially, there's a high demand for candidates. You know, it might look like there is a mass of candidates on the market at the moment with nowhere to go, but we still need these really imperative, business important key roles filled. And we've got to attract these people. So there's a lot that we need to do there to make it happen. Attrition is set to skyrocket within Q2, with a lot of the main CROs saying they're expecting between 24 and 35% of people to be leaving their organizations in those 3 months alone. So now is a really good time to get to redefining why stay with us, why work with us, why be with us. Niche job portals for recruitment. These are great places where you can actually advertise yourself. I've got some examples on the right here of things that people are doing on FarmyWeb, examples from Regeneron and Syneos. Recruitment lag time, internal workloads. These things are at an all-time high at the moment. And also the competition for candidates is just as high. Another thing to bear in mind is we all say we're doing a little bit, but there's not an excellent amount of decent employer branding out there. It is a market that can be claimed by anyone who's brave enough to try something a little different and anyone who's bold enough to actually do it. That combined with huge market growth makes this the key year really to refine your EVP. So some core views, really. These are just the sort of key highlights, the takeaways from the most recent batch of research we've been doing. I think the most important thing is what candidates, what job seekers are looking for. It hasn't actually changed in 5 years. It's companies rolling back on the pandemic era promises that's causing problems. So when you think of those first few weeks 5 years ago, we were told to go work from home. You know, this is the new way of working. We all had to re-sign contracts to say that's what we were doing. But now, you know, return to office is looming. Benefits have changed. Things are different now than they were. And that's what's hurting retention particularly and attraction, because people were coming into the workforce with these wonderful benefits that were there, which are now being taken away again. It's key that we tap into both the passive and active markets to make sure that we actually get the best talent this year. LinkedIn is saying that between 70 and 75% of the global workforce is currently made up of passive talent. So how do we go after them? Well, it's actually easier now than it ever has been before to get in front of people, because there's so many different channels that they're using, be it LinkedIn, be it TikTok, Instagram, FarmyWeb, Indeed, whatever it is. There's so many different platforms. You can get your messaging on it. But what exactly is it that we're going to say? Let's dive in. Let's have a look. So I wanted to share some more stats just to paint the picture a little bit more of what's going on. But the one I really want to focus on here is that poor employer branding, it costs around 10% more per hire for companies, because they have to do that little bit more to get that poor messaging out there. This is something that we don't want, particularly in a year when we're being told to do more with less resources. This is something that we can just fix here and now. A lot of candidates, 66% in fact, are saying they want to hear more from other employees at your organization. They want the head of science saying what a day in their life looks like. They want to hear from the junior sales staff how they got into this role. They want to hear real stories from real people. And for that reason alone, a lot of recruiters, 46%, are saying that they see their job in recruiting becoming a lot more like marketing, because they have to sell in a way they've never had to sell before. What do you think, Vince?
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, if you look at what two companies in particular are doing as examples, GSK are very good as a big multinational company at portraying themselves as a small, you know, well-cultured organization in different locations. So they work on localization as their USP. Montrose being probably the one I'm more accustomed to, where they're actually presenting the company as a small family-based company. Come and work for us. You know, it's a small workforce. We're all working together, all on the same side. And you know, potential employees really like that. So the culture is really being pushed there. if you look at other companies like Icon on the clinical research side, you know, a huge multinational company, they've set up a career site on their own site for anyone that wants to apply for jobs at Icon, with hints and tips, things that they can do, how they apply, all those types of things. So EVP has become really important, you know, getting the message out there. It works hand in hand with your employer branding generally. And the key thing, I think, for most companies is to have a very clear strategy and plan as to what you want to do and how you want to get to the marketplace. And as you've already said, you know, a lot of people in talent acquisition, a lot of people in recruitment are now considering their jobs as a marketing type of role to actually get people interested. So you need to know what are the key things that candidates are looking for, especially when you're looking at, you know, millennials, Gen Z, Gen X. They all want slightly different things. So we need to change what we're actually doing.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, that top stat on the page here, 92% of people would consider changing jobs if the company had an excellent EVP. You know, that's huge, particularly when we've got to tap into the passive market and there's competition for people. It makes it really, really imperative that we focus on these things that candidates are after, particularly this year. Work-life balance and money, those are the top two ones, you know, and they have been for quite some time now. Money creeping up over the last couple of years since the cost of living crisis here in the UK, but work-life balance primarily has been the thing that everyone's wanted for a long time. But there are others, aren't there, Vince?
Yeah, so again, we were talking about culture, personal development, roadmaps and milestones, micro promotions, all of those sorts of things get people interested in staying with the organization, helping you to recruit as well. Morale of the teams that they're with, whether that's local or global, really counts. The people they work with, can they learn off of those people? Let's face it, you know, if you've got flexible working and you're doing the 3-2, you want to go in and talk to colleagues that can actually give you something. Personal performance is important. And then the real big one, which I think a lot of companies have tried to work out, is how do you recognize people more often? You know, millennials and Gen Z in particular like micro promotions. They like being taken care of from a well-being point of view. They like to have very clear action plans and milestones as to their next promotion. Yeah. So all of these things are becoming more and more important.
That's very, very true. There are other things as well to consider. So salary importance, as I said, it's been creeping up over the last couple of years. 69% of people in our industry have said that that is, you know, it's a critical feature for them this year, something that in previous years has been around the 20-30% mark. That is such a huge jump, you know, and something that really, really can't be understated. Job security as well. A load of professionals in the sector are thinking about their job security long term when it comes to employment decisions. People are being less brave jumping onto startups and companies with not much history to them. People want the stability of a large company, a large household name with a lot of money in the bank, in a way that we haven't really seen since sort of 2008. It's that fear of what's going to happen next. Benefit significance as well. We'll talk about different benefits and what people are looking for a little bit more in a moment, but turnover reduction is probably one of the key ones. People that really, really deliver on their value proposition, who really put their staff first, experience around a 69% decrease in expected annual turnover. Obviously there's things that you can't cater for, but the expected turnover, it goes down dramatically when you invest. So what are these things that people care about? Work-life balance, I've already said, is the key one. Most people consider it to be the top priority. An overwhelming majority of 54% say this is the most important thing when they apply for jobs. Things like paid time off and health insurance is really, really high on the agenda. It's one of the most important benefits these days. This could fall in line with, particularly here in the UK, delayed wait times for things like non-invasive surgeries and non-essential appointments. And that's kind of been dragging on from the pandemic era. You know, that's become really, really important now. Company values, really important as always. People are seeking such a huge alignment now, more so than ever before, when they're looking at job opportunities. And one thing that companies in this industry aren't brilliant at doing is saying what their values actually are. They'll say what their mission is, you know, that corporately outlaid mission, but what the values of the company, we lose that these days, don't we?
We certainly do. And I think the key thing there, when you're looking at organizations and the company itself is to actually get that message across to all members of the team. And as there, in fairness, you've got the reverse of that as well. There are some people that are no longer aligned with the company that are encouraged to move on. But the ones that they want to keep, we're seeing a lot of upskilling. So even down to basic skills, you know, whether it be Word or PowerPoint, whatever it is, how to promote themselves, how to actually do presentations, all those sorts of things. So we're seeing a lot of upskilling going on. That ties in with the strategy of the company and where they want people to go. If someone's got great skills, train them in something else. When you've got someone who's got double the amount of skills that you can use and deploy in different times. So we're seeing a lot more of that going on, and a lot more mentoring as well. You know, helping people move on, either as a management type individual, you might be a subject matter expert, or you might just be quite happy where you are. But listen to what people say and take care of those people, and that allows you to keep them. That ties in with your employee value proposition overall.
Sure does. Another thing to consider, obviously, we talked about the attrition rate coming into Q2, but TIAA have said that over the next 2 years, there's a 21% risk of people. There's a risk of 21% of people leaving their job within the next 2 years as a whole. One in every five people jumping ship over the next 2 years is catastrophic. When you consider there's companies out there with tens of thousands of headcount, you know, that's a huge amount of job. Of work that people are going to have to do to not only retain that talent but rehire it. That's diabolical. There's something that we can do about this.
Well, the problem you've got, Simon, obviously, is with the economy, you know, politics, the wars. You know, people have sat. Most people normally stay in an organization for about 2.6 years. Most people have actually stayed for over 3 years now. Mm. So there's a lot of people out there, you know, looking for that next move, thinking about their career. And it's all going to happen as soon as the market starts to pick up. And that's coming real soon. So it's just a question of when is that?
Absolutely. So one of the things that we look at to really, really nail down that attrition and help attraction are personalized benefit packages. Now, that's easier said than done, particularly if you're in an organization that employs a lot of people. But what you can do is just start to understand what the employee needs. You can do things like hold surveys or focus groups to learn about the priorities. You know, we've got the stats written down here, but what you've got in your organizations, be you a small biotech or a large CRO or even a small recruitment company, it's gonna differ largely based on who you've got around you. So by learning what people are actually looking for, you can structure what you've got from there. You can also use tools like FarmyWeb to gauge what candidates are looking for. You can submit surveys for anonymous feedback. You can segment your employees by different demographics, job roles, or sort of stages in their life to see what works best for different people. This is the only time, really, it's okay to do that, isn't it? To put people in different boxes. But it helps us understand what different groups of people need, be they millennial, boomer, parents, or carers, whatever it is. You can learn a lot by going back to the basics there. And also one of the key ones, and this is one that you keep talking about, Vince, it's using localized information instead of just relying on the same catch-all global messaging for everyone everywhere.
Absolutely. So this goes back to more personalized benefits based on the location. You know, if you're only interested in Edinburgh, there's no point talking about what you're doing in London or the rest of Europe. A lot of companies really push their global information and that message. That's a little bit lazy, I think, nowadays. You've got to be really personal about what people want. And you've got to talk to people. You know, some people are full-time carers. Some people need to get off early for the kids, whatever it is. If you can be adaptable, you can really hold on to excellent people by just giving them the extra little things they want. And that can actually save you money in the long term as well. So a whole range of things there.
And there's a few ways to do this. You know, being flexible with benefits, it's not as difficult as it sounds. What you can do is you can do cafeteria style plans, which is something that we were speaking to someone about in America a fair few years back. And to me at the time, completely blew my mind because it was alarmingly simple. You create a menu based on different benefits and people can kind of pick what ticks the box for them. Does it really need to be one size fits all in this day and age where we have tech that will do things at the drop of a hat? I don't think so. tiered benefits, different levels of coverage for different employees to opt in and opt out of. And then voluntary benefits. There are so many people, particularly in my demographic of millennial, who would buy some extra PTO, you know, who would get that extra bit of insurance because, you know, the NHS is causing them some problems for that jippy shoulder they've got or whatever. There are people who will do these things. So offer it up if you can. And then other benefits to consider, things like health and wellness, you know, gym memberships, mental health supports, wellness stipends, all of these are becoming really, really popular where we've got generations below us that are really in tune with themselves mentally in a way that we've been trying to encourage people to be over the last decade. So it's really good to see that come to fruition. Now we have to give them the benefits and the tools to succeed with that aim of being mentally healthy. Financial support. You speak to anyone 30 and below, they have no idea what they're doing with money. Is there something that you can do internally to help them? Can you offer, you know, financial assistance? Can you offer, you know, webinars and seminars from people in regarding investments and stocks? Can you help them become friendly with their money? Work-life balance, flexible hours, remote working, childcare support, whatever it is, there are things you can do there. Career growth, development, mentorship, training. We've spoken already about how important these are. Can you look internally and see what your company's policy is when it comes to these things and what can you do differently or better? And then finally, recognition and rewards. We've said how important that is a few slides ago. What can you do to reward genuinely good work and then talk about it so everyone knows that they get rewarded for doing genuinely good work? So as I sort of alluded to very recently, you know, there's a lot of tech around these days that would enable us to do lots of things really, really quickly that will suit a majority of people. You can create online portals where people can select and adjust benefits. You can use AI tools to recommend benefits based on the data you've amassed from all of these surveys that we're looking at doing and the focus groups. And what you then want to do is find a way to really clearly and concisely explain the benefits packages to employees and gather that feedback regularly to make sure you can adjust offerings based on people's evolving needs, because you might find that you're spending a load of money on things that absolutely no one is using. So why spend that money when you can use it somewhere else? And then finally, obviously, we weren't going to go very far without having this conversation, were we? It's hybrid working. What is the kind of model at the moment? It is currently the favoured way of working. You know, a couple of days at home, a couple of days in the office, with 75% of people in life sciences working in that way. Return to office is still huge on the agenda. Life science companies want to invest in infrastructure. They want to invest in factories, in labs, in square miles, essentially. And to do that, they need to have people on the ground. So they want people back in the office as much as possible. But they're going to meet resistance when people want to work at home, when they want to have the freedom to work from other places. It's going to be a real problem, and it already is for a lot of people. We're seeing reduced flexibility as well amidst downsizing and right sizing, which is something that we've seen particularly over the last 18 months, isn't it, Vince? People clamping down numbers, mass redundancies left, right and center, and cutting of what we're going to just coin the term quickly non-essential benefits to fund making that happen. But an interesting thing is we ran a little survey on FarmyWeb, as we regularly do, with 600,000 job seekers looking for their next job. 67% of them said that flexible working was an absolute non-negotiable. You know, they will not consider working for an organization that doesn't have in place a great flexible working policy. And that's something to really consider, because you're shutting yourself out to 67% of the talent out there by being too linear in how you want people to work. So some solutions then, Vince, some things that we can do, some things we can look at. And I'll hand over to you for this little bit, okay?
Yeah, no problem at all. So engaging with your own employees is quite important. You know, we've got some figures here talking about how important the company's brand is and, you know, how quickly you can recruit other people because of that employer branding and your EVP. There's a whole range of things here that we need to consider, because every single candidate is different. I'm really focused on personalization for candidates at the moment. Let's think about what they need. It can save you a lot of money. So all of these things are quite good. So Simon, if we go to the next slide.
Absolutely.
So the key thing is, whenever you are doing anything, think about omni-channel. Don't just do it in the same place. So there's a lot of clients I'm working with at the moment that do have really good materials, but they don't really put it anywhere. They don't push it out to a wider audience. They don't make their own employees fully aware of it. And I think there's a lot of employees in companies. I was talking to a big biotech last week who said that it's been amazing how much difference it's made when you tell people what's available in their flexi packages, in their flexi time working packages. You know, why are they being asked to come back to the office? And it's all around well-being, management, taking care of those employees, making sure they've got the right skills, checking at the right levels. It's just generally bringing them in as part of the family rather than anything else. And the culture of this particular company, they made it very clear to all employees that if your children are sick, you must take the time off to take care of them, because that's the most important thing. Mm. And I thought that was a huge stance from this organization. If we can move to the next slide, Simon. And one of the best ones that I've seen, when you're actually getting messaging out to the industry generally and for your EVP and your employer branding, is this one. So CSL have been very good at this. It's one of the best I've seen, and I'll read it to you because I love it so much. Over a century ago in Melbourne, Australia, we made a promise to save lives and protect the health of people who are stricken with a range of serious and chronic medical conditions. Today, as a leading global biotech company, that same promise has never been stronger. We are driven by a deep passion to serve hundreds of thousands of patients and other stakeholders across the world. It's a fantastic statement, and the whole company believes in it. So sometimes words do make a difference. So again, if you've got something like that subliminal messaging to your staff, family, feel, making them feel part of the team, no one wants to leave. Mm. If we can go to the next slide. So other things we can do on subliminal messages, the career roadmap in. You can make a big play to everyone around the fact that you're going to train them. You're going to think about upskilling them, mentor them, give them what they need. Things like promotions to achieve certain goals as part of your career. It doesn't have to be a monetized thing. It's just recognition that the fact that they've actually done something and achieved something. And that starts to breed a culture of everyone wanting to do more, wanting to go for these things. So these things are quite important when you actually get the message out to everybody. And the next slide, Simon.
Absolutely.
So one of the things that most people want, even employees themselves, is they like to see more video. Short videos, you know, 60 to 90 seconds. They don't have to be professionally done. Most people want to see the real person talking, not an actor, talking about what they're doing here. So this is one from Roche, one of the spotlight campaigns that we did for them. Employees talking about what they do in their job, their career progression, success stories, that type of work, the things that they've done. Other things that you can include in this are things like localization stories, so talking about your own particular site, awards that the company's won. You know, people love that. Charity work that you do. You know, most people wouldn't even know because they haven't read it or seen it. Why it's such a great place to work. We've talked about training and promotions, but you can also do a day in the life. Get people doing videos about what they actually do so you know. One of the big complaints I had from a company some years ago from the local population as well as their own employees was, what do you actually do there? And the biggest answer that came back was, we think they're all Oompa Loompas making chocolate, because no one actually knew. And that was the genuine answer. So all of these things can make a big difference. If we can move on from there. Mm. So, Simon, you can talk about effectiveness on the EVP. What do we need to do?
So there's a few different ways to gauge how what you're doing is working. One of the things that I've already mentioned previously, it's surveys. You know, you can use surveys to assess people's satisfaction, alignment with the values, all the different things you're trying to achieve. Of course, we all know that if you sent a survey to all 1,000 people working for you, not all 1,000 people are going to fill it out. So incentivize filling it out, ask them again, chase them up, follow them up. It is important. Ultimately, it reflects on how their life and their organization's going to be. So we just need to sell those internal surveys in a slightly different way than they are currently being sold, which is do this by the 27th. Thanks, by HR. You know, we've got to do things a little bit differently to make sure people actually engage with it. Retention and turnover rates, analyze how long your employees stay versus your competition if you can. You can use tools like LinkedIn to see what the average tenure at a certain company is, see how you stack up and see what that looks like. Because really, if you're making all of these changes to your EVP, that voluntary turnover should be way lower, you know, way lower than the average, to be sure. Branding metrics as well. You can track things like job applications, acceptance rates, company reviews. We're not only going to attract and retain talent, but we're going to improve our industry-wide reputation. So, Vince, you just spoke very nicely about CSL regarding that job advert. You know, that's a reputational thing. That's something that we now take to the market and go, hey, these guys are good. And that message, it spreads like wildfire. So the more good things you do, the more people talk about you. And there is no marketing better than word of mouth still, you know. Internal and external feedback. You can gather decent feedback through exit interviews, annual reviews, focus groups to better understand how employees perceive what you're doing. Particularly when it comes to exit interviews, people can find these really hard. Normally they can be formatted and it has to be so-and-so from so-and-so department that does them. We need to break down those norms and actually give that person who's exiting someone they would actually speak to and be candid about, because then you'll get some decent data out of them rather than speaking to someone they met when they were on board at 8 years ago and now they're seeing them again to say bye-bye. We've got to be a bit cleverer and a bit more kind of, I guess, personalized in how we do exiting and gathering data from our employees. And then finally, you know, productivity metrics. You know, a happy company, a strong company with decent EVP should lead to higher motivation and better performance. You'll see it in the numbers. If you're suddenly achieving more, doing more, selling more, whatever it is, and no one can put the finger on why, but you know that you've done all of these different things, the attraction's up, retention's up, you can pat yourself on the back and say, good job, us. Our EVP rocks now, and we're seeing it in numbers that it has an effect. So coming to the conclusions, really, ending things bang on time. So what we're going to do is we're going to start looking at what candidates want. We're going to research it properly and then tell them that we can give them the things that they want. The passive market is very much ours to claim. It is huge. They just want their needs prioritized first. Your offering needs to be better than their current employers, and it is simple as that. Candidates want to hear more from the people that work at your organization, be it in a video format, be it on LinkedIn, whatever it is. They just want to see people, their peers, talking about how good it is on the other side. Hybrid working is the favored arrangement. If you can, try and keep that going, because you will have access to greater talent if you enable it. Drop the corporate messaging. Don't be so heavily reliant on that sort of corporate tagline that we see on websites. Try and tell engaging stories instead. Use the people that work there. Use the values that drive your organization and communicate a decent story. Attrition is set to go to 27% plus in the next 3 months. So work on retention just as much as recruitment, particularly for Q2. Otherwise, you're going to have a particularly hard time. Career road mapping, micro promotions, mentoring, upskilling, all still need to be part of the conversation. What can you do to retain, develop and motivate the group of people that you've got working in your organization? And then I'd like to end it all by saying that, you know, FarmyWeb do a massive amount of webinars and more recently podcasts as well. If you would like access to any of these, you can email us at sales@farmyweb.com, or you can go to our recruiter services portal where you'll be able to access absolutely everything that you need there. For now, though, that's goodbye from me.